Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At the stadium, Vinny schmoozes in luxury suites.
From the left, dear, one serves from the left.
Whatever's gotten into you, Calpurnia?
Haney posts up in the bleachers.
You're all carded! All of you!
The only place to catch Vinny and Haney together is on 105.7 The Fan.
He's another enforcer like Fee. You know, I believe that. And you need physical football still in this league, even though everybody's spreading you out and running all their screens and everything else. But you still need physicality.
In terms of emphasis, I'm not entirely sure what his decision process is that. You know, Jalen right now is he's doing a great job. He's competing. He's the techniques that we're teaching are slightly different than he knows. So, you know, that's a little bit of a learning curve for him. But, you know, once he gets out there full go and rolling, then, you know, I expect him to compete.
He's gotten better every single week. He still knows he has a long way to go. But the physicality, the heavy hands, the edge setting, you know, the way he's rushing the quarterback, yeah, I'd say he's done a good job.
Just keep working, you know, dominate my opportunity. As long as I get a chance to keep playing, as long as I get a chance to keep my cleats on, come out here and keep working to get better every single day.
Well, not the planned open for the show that we were expecting here on this Woman Crush Wednesday, Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan. We start on a somber note, extremely somber, and we heard Jalen Ferguson there talking about his expectations and what he's planning on doing, and a guy that we've had on the show on more than one occasion. Also heard from John Harbaugh and Mike McDonald, and what his expected role could have been for 2022. And obviously, we were just talking about him yesterday, and we've mentioned him many times. Because of the need for a pass rusher, which right now, of course, is secondary
right. In
the grand scheme of things. But news broke earlier this morning, a couple hours ago, that Jalen Ferguson, 26 years old, passing away unexpectedly.
Yeah.
No cause of death has been given yet. His agents are up. Sarah Farah Lawson confirmed today. Team said in a statement, profoundly saddened by the tragic passing of Jalen Ferguson. He was a kind, respectful young man with a big smile, infectious personality. We express our heartfelt condolences to Jalen's family and friends as we mourn a life lost way too soon. Third round pick in 19, three children, all under the age of five. And, you know, passages happen in life.
Yeah.
Usually when, you're in the elderly range and tragedy does happen, as we've seen with drugs and with car accidents or alcohol or, murders. I mean, it does end a life prematurely, but when you wake up in the morning and we're doing sports talk in particular.
Right.
I mean, real life stuff, sure, it happens every day in every city. It sucks. And that's way beyond our level of comprehension or expertise. You know, we just deal with it like everybody else does, best we can, and hopefully things change. But when you do sports talk, you wake up, you read a box score. You look at the highlights of the games, watch SportsCenter.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of running hot because the Orioles couldn't do anything against the Nats. And then this bombshell comes out of nowhere, and you're just like, where the hell did this come from?
Right. Yeah. That's a tough one. That's a call that if you're Harbs or you're Eric DaCosta, when your phone's ringing, I'm guessing at not a normal time, that it's not good, you know. Anytime that I got a call, one time I got a call like 4 a.m. And Jason Taylor, and as they were in the hospital, Jason Taylor was, you know, and they were wanting to like amputate his ankle or something, you know, because I can't remember what it was, you know, and he didn't want to talk to me, he wanted to talk to my wife, you know, and that was one call that I got. The other call, Dan Snyder called me 5 a.m., get to the office, Sean's been shot. You know, I mean, those are kind of calls that you don't want to get. Any, you know, like even like from my kids or any, you know, like a call at midnight.
Anybody calling you at 4 o'clock in the morning. They're not calling you to tell you that they kicked ass in bowling last night. It's bad news.
Yeah. You know, and then, you know, the other call I got a few days after that was Sean Taylor's dad called me at 5 a.m., said they took him. You know, those are the kind of calls that, you know, you don't like to get.
Right. And we're not going to speculate as to the cause of death. And as soon as we hear, we will certainly share it with you. And we were just talking yesterday about the death of Caleb Swanigan, the former basketball Purdue star, player who passed away at the age of 25. Details of that one yet to be disclosed. Natural causes is what they're saying there. 25 years old. You know, who knows what a natural cause could be, but for Jalen Ferguson, this is a guy who is the all-time sack leader, college football sack daddy.
Yep, Louisiana Tech.
Louisiana Tech. And, you know, golden opportunity for him on the football field. And, Vinny, you've seen him at OTAs. You saw him last week.
Yeah.
Mandatory mini camp, and we talked about how he had lost weight and he looked good and, you know, maybe a new motivation for him to come in and succeed. I mean, when we talk about him from a football perspective, well, he's only 4.5 sacks and blah, blah, blah. But all of that's kind of meaningless right now. But, you know, he comes into this camp knowing the importance of it. And, you know, based on the appearances physically, he looked like he was going to be up to the challenge.
Yeah. No, like, because we heard Mike McDonald talk yesterday, you know, when we were breaking things down a little bit. And, you know, he talked about how what he did for Hutchinson, you know, at Michigan to get him to be such a good sack guy, you know, go from 1 to 15 or whatever it was, had him trimmed down, you know, and then kind of changed his technique a little bit. So when he was talking about Fergie, you know, Fergie trimmed down, changed his technique a little bit. So, you know, They had, you know, high hopes for Fergie for this year because really they didn't have anybody else. You know, if you had to play today, Fergie would have been starting opposite Oway. So that's a big blow to the Ravens, but the bigger blow, I mean, he's a father of three, Bob, at 26.
All under five.
Yeah. So I mean, feel bad for, you know, the wife and the kids. I mean, the kids are barely going to, you know, they're going to, how much are they going to remember of their dad? You know, I mean, that's the sad part. I mean, the guy was a professional football player, you know, it just a tough deal.
Yeah. Horrible. 3 children, 2 daughters and a son, all under the age of 5. So prayers go out to Jalen Ferguson's friends, his family, his coaches, his teammates. I mean, who knows how deep his friend tree was, but Patrick Queen, he sent out a tweet. Last person I talked to leaving the facility, spent almost every day in the sauna together trying to see who's going to last longer. Sad it was our turn this year. Going to miss you, bro. So teammates having to wrap their heads around this, too.
Yeah, and let me just say that, speak from experience, Bob. I mean, you know, on teammates, it's, you know, it's not going to be easy. You know, a lot of these guys have left and have gone home, you know, but they'll be back in 5 weeks. And then, you know, I mean, they'll see Fergie's locker there and, you know, and be remembering him. And I, you know, do you need, cause we had to get grieved people there and stuff, you know, if people wanted to talk to somebody, that type of thing, you know. And for us, it happened during the season, which made it even more difficult. I mean, you know, how do you concentrate on football and meetings? You can't, you know, and then you got to play a game, you know. So I think the biggest thing is, you know, when they have his funeral, like with Sean, was celebration of life, you know, celebrate what he has done. You know, I think that's the best thing is, you know, celebrate all the great things that he's done in those 26 years. And then I think it's easier for people to move on.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. So a tough way to start this Woman Crush Wednesday. Jonah Schaefer covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun, who will be joining us when we come back and reflect on the brief career and short life, all too short life, of number 45 for your Ravens. So with Jalen Ferguson, rest in peace, and we'll move on with the show here on The Fan.
Vinny and Haney on your home for sports, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. Anything you want to hear from your favorite female artist or band, send a request to the Plaza Ford text line. Nolan McGraw is going to take care of it for you. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, starting the show today, unfortunately, on a sad, tragic note. Jalen Ferguson has passed away at the age of 26, and reports are coming in. 105.7 The Fan has learned that Ferguson was found at 400 Ilchester Avenue, unresponsive, and was pronounced dead just after midnight. At this time, the exact cause of death is not known, but based on paraphernalia found at the scene, a drug overdose is suspected. Again, unconfirmed reports, but the investigative staff here at The Fan doing their due diligence, sadly, to talk about something that's not football related, which obviously, Vinny, you and I would much rather be talking about. But
right,
that's the news we have right now. And joining us, covers the Ravens and has for a few years for the Baltimore Sun, and knows Fergie since the day the Ravens brought him in from Louisiana Tech, is Jonah Schaefer. Jonas, good morning. Thanks for joining us on this pretty stunning and sad day here.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me on.
And look, what's the intel you're getting right now? And you saw Jalen, of course, at OTAs and at minicamp. And, you know, we can't get into Columbo investigations or anything like that. But when you talk to him or you talk to coaches, teammates, did anything seem amiss with the young man?
It didn't. I mean, the only, you know, thing recent, I guess, that I can share is, you know, that we were hoping to talk to Sack Daddy, you know, in minicamp, because it looked like he was on the verge of what might have been a breakthrough. And so, you know, we put in the request through Ravens PR, hoping that we could just do a Q&A with him. Unfortunately, you know, that was turned down. You know, could have been any one of a number of totally legit reasons. But it is just sad to know that, you know, there was a slim chance of, you know, us having talked to him before he went, because it's been a while since anyone's really gotten a chance to talk to him. I mean, last year was just kind of a loss for him. You know, obviously his career in Baltimore, it didn't go as I think a lot of people hoped or expected for, but there was still a, you know, very kind, loving young man. You just look at all the social media channels and Ravens current, Ravens former, you know, Matt Skura reaching out and saying just how shocked he was. So, it's just tragic. And, you know, I don't know, again, if this is totally legit and updated, but just looking at his wife's Instagram this morning, I think this was from last year, tentatively supposed to get married in July 9th. So we are possibly, you know, less than 3 weeks away from what would have been the wedding date, which is just even more heartbreaking.
Do you know much about his kids at all, Jonas?
Yeah, I think, you know, three kids all underneath the age of five. I think one of them, again, this is from his wife's social media feed, from her Instagram, I believe had some developmental challenges. I think he was, you know, nonverbal for at least the first couple of years of his life. But from what she had posted, it looked like they were starting to turn that corner, and you know, they were really making progress with him developing those skills, developing those behaviors. You know, beautiful kids, obviously. He was a young father, but I think he handled that role with aplomb, with courage, with a whole lot of love. You know, just always smiling when you saw pictures of him and his children. You know, his fiance, long-term partner, was always in the picture. You know, showering them with affection and, you know, love and respect. So it's just another heartbreaking angle to all this that she's going to have to go at this alone for the remainder of their young childhood, basically.
Hey, Jonas, what type of teammate was he?
You know, I wish I knew better, to be honest. You know, we haven't gotten a whole lot of chance to talk to these guys the last 2 years because of COVID, but I'm sure you guys, you know, have talked about the Patrick Queen tweet from this morning, where, you know, he mentioned that he would always talk with him. He's the last person he talked to leaving the facility. Obviously, those are two Louisiana boys, I'm sure, bonded over a lot of shared interests. You know, Patrick talks about how they spent almost every day in the sauna together, seeing who's going to last longer. They were, you know, both at similar points in their careers. So I think if we can glean anything from the kind of guy that Jalen was up at the podium, I'm sure he was soft-spoken, but, you know, clearly not a lot of malice in his heart, and someone that it was pretty easy to rally around and to really open yourself up to.
I'll bet you know, like if you're Fergie, you know, and Mike McDonald's coming in and you saw what happened with Ajabo and with Hutchinson, you know, that you had to been kind of excited because it looked like, you know, we heard McDonald talk about how, you know, he had Hutchinson trimmed down and we all saw Fergie. He looked like, you know, he was trimmed down. So that looked like, you know, what they were telling him to get ready to do, you know, trim down and, you know, we'll change, you know, adjust some things, you know. So I would think that Fergie was probably, you know, expecting to have, you know, his best year in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think the two practices that we saw were probably the best that we've ever seen him at an offseason practice. You know, there was not only was he looking better physically, but it seemed like there was something starting to click mentally for him as well, because he was timing the snap. He was getting good get offs. He was showing a little bit of range in his pass rush moves. You know, not just a power rusher, but showing some burst off the edge. And you know, that was the knock on him for the first 3 years in Baltimore. Just how is this guy going to win as a pass rusher? And I think we were finally getting a chance to look at what he could be, you know, with some reps, with some time, with his body figured out. But now it's just, you know, it's all unrealized promise. And we're just talking about what might have been instead of what is.
Jonas Schaefer covers the Ravens in the NFL for the Baltimore Sun here on Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. And Jonas, before we let you go, obviously talking about football would not be appropriate, in my opinion, at this time. But, you know, 3 years with him, what will you remember most about Jalen Ferguson?
Probably the nickname, right? I mean,
Sack Daddy.
I think even though, you know, the sack totals weren't all that great, I think that name just speaks to the kind of jovial, you know, guy that he was. That didn't take himself too seriously. A record-breaking career at Louisiana Tech. I mean, it's easy to forget that this was the guy who broke Terrell Suggs' career record for sacks at Arizona State. And, you know, obviously came into the NFL with some questions to prove, some questions to answer, but not once, from what we could tell, did his frustrations over his role ever bubble over to the surface like they have for some other Ravens of recent memory. He was always a guy who was out there at practice when he was healthy. Obviously last year was a bit tough with him, you know, getting stuck in COVID protocol and missing a good deal of time. But, you know, he was a guy who you could count out to be there and be beloved by teammates and respected by coaches. And it's just a sad day that that this is a hole that is going to be really tough to fill, not just in terms of a roster spot, but in terms of, you know, the kind of guy he was.
He's Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Sun. Jonas, we appreciate you joining us on short notice. Have a good rest of your Wednesday, and we'll talk to you next week sometime.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Jonas Schaefer joining us. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, just tuning into the program. Jalen Ferguson, Ravens linebacker, passing away at the age of 26.
When you need answers, when you crave sports, when you want the best, it's 105.7 The Fan.
Woman Crush Wednesday, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. You want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. Talk about the passing, sad passing of Jalen Ferguson. I know a lot of people don't want to talk about this sort of thing in their sports talk world because sports talk and sports in general, the toy department of life, you want to escape your own realities that you deal with on a daily basis, whether it's family problems, whether it's financial problems. We are in the middle of a pandemic. Gas prices are out of control. I mean, crime is rampant. I mean, we all read the papers, and as adults, we try to cope the best we can. And you want to tune in and listen to us talk about the Orioles losing last night, which we will. Bill Ripken, by the way, joining us top of the hour. Can't win three in a row if you can't win two in a row. That's how I look at it, and I'm not a math major by any stretch of the imagination, and we'll hear the Oriole highlights coming up in the next segment. And, you know, we would talk NBA drafts tomorrow, Stanley Cup finals resume tonight. I mean, there's so much happening in the world of sports. Bobby Witt and Otani going bananas with the long ball in Anaheim last night. D.L. Hall pitched down on the farm. We're not like, great, but we'll talk about it. He pitched nonetheless. And then this news just kind of, it throws you for a loop.
Yeah.
And it you try to, and we've all dealt with tragedy and people dying way before their time. And you cope the best you can. It's the stages of grief. And I guess for John Harbaugh, in 2015, Trey Walker was killed in that motorcycle accident.
Yeah.
Down in Florida, who only played 1 year in Baltimore, but who knows what his role would have been, what his career would have turned out to be, certainly what his life would be like at this time. So the Ravens have had this kind of hit them before, Eric and Ozzy and John, and Steve Bisciotti. So, you know, the second time around, and it doesn't make them experts in this field. It just stuns them like everybody else.
Yeah. Well, they've been through it, you know. Doesn't make it any easier that they have experience with this. It just, you know, they know probably better how to deal with it with the team, you know, because they've been through it. Because, you know, like your first time through, you know, it's crazy, you know, because you don't know how it affects your teammates and you don't know how it affects the guys in the locker room and stuff. You know, I mean, I remember LaRon Landry, you know, when Sean Taylor died, I mean, he was down in the locker room, just like scream, what am I going to do now? He drove me to work every day. You know, you just don't know those kind of things, what he was doing with his, you know, maybe he was picking somebody up or, you know, it just brings back a lot of bad memories.
Sure. And it's also for them, his teammates now, members of the media, fans. I mean, hey, just saw him last week.
Yeah.
He was a week ago today. Jalen Ferguson was wearing his football helmet running around at mandatory minicamp.
Yeah.
And we were talking about what his potential role with the team would be in 2022 and with Ajabo and, Bowser still coming back, convalescing from injuries and, you know, who knows, Houston, JPP. But here's Jalen Ferguson with an opportunity.
Yeah, big time.
In front of him in a big way. And that's what we concentrate on. And we tend to lose sight of the fact that, you know, they live lives like normal people too.
Yeah.
In and outside of their facilities and with the pads on.
Yeah. And yeah, it just because, you know, everything that he was working towards, he had a great opportunity. This was his best opportunity this year. This year was going to be a big opportunity for him. And, you know, he doesn't get to realize that.
Nolan McGraw, get in here, please, if you don't mind. As a Ravens fan, I mean, this had to shake you up. Everybody listening today did not expect this level of tragedy to come out of one winning drive.
No, never. Didn't expect it when Trey Walker passed years ago. Didn't expect it today. Just stunned. Just shocked. I have nothing that no one else has said that I could really add. I was just shocked.
So the Ravens, it doesn't make it better or worse. I mean, if this happens a week ago when they're all there, probably resonates. I would guess, could be completely wrong, that a lot of his teammates don't even know about this yet.
Yeah, because probably some of them are still sleeping, you know? Bob, if it would have happened, let's say this happened last Wednesday or something, you know, they'd have been done, you know. I mean, Harbs would have had more things to deal with other than, you know, scheduling a practice, you know, that wouldn't have been going on.
So Jalen Ferguson, again, if you're just tuning in, he passes away at the age of 26. Details what we have right now, as 105.7 The Fan has learned, he was found at 400 Ilchester Avenue, Waverly-ish Harwood. Unresponsive, was pronounced dead just after midnight at this time. Exact cause of death not known, and I'm just reading here. Paraphernalia found at the scene. A drug overdose is suspected, but not, let's stress, not confirmed. Either way, whatever the circumstances are, a 26-year-old father of three is no longer with us, and that in and of itself is pretty tragic news. We'll come back, get to the sports talk. If you want to reflect on Fergie, feel free to do so, by the way, at 410-583-1057. Orioles lose last night down at Camden Yards, 3-0 to the Nats. We'll hear the lowlights of that game. Bill Ripken's going to be joining us, MLB Network, former Oriole, and our colleague here on Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Talk about the Orioles at 30-39 coming up on the 1st of July, which means the trade deadline's a little more than a month away. What does all of this mean? Whip around 11:15. Tons going on in the world of sports. Stanley Cup Finals. Game 4 is tonight in Tampa. Yeah. Can the Lightning even the series? An award was handed out in the NHL. We'll tell you what that was. And Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Talk some National Football League with him. And Roger Goodell, speaking of the NFL, congressional hearing, going to get raked over the coals, we guess?
11 a.m.
Seems like a guy that kind of handles it. Like a champ, as a matter of fact.
Let me just say this, Bob. He's been to handling school.
Unlike the guy he's going to be talking about mainly, Dan Snyder,
right.
Who Mutombo'd the request on a couple of occasions to speak himself.
Sports. With balls. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Now the set of the pitch. Breaking ball ripped to left, tore the line, and down and fair. Extra bases right up to the wall at the 335 marker. Coming in to score is Hernandez from third as Cruz coasts into second with a double. Now a drive of the year to right toward the corner. Long run Santander. And this one is gone. Goodbye. Right down the line. Clears the 21-foot wall in and out of the fans' hands. Up above on the wall in front of Utah Street. It's an opposite field home run for Lane Thomas.
Charlie Slows, Nationals Radio Network. 3-0 was the final score. Lane Thomas, that was kind of the cherry on top for them. And the Nationals scored two runs early, one in the first, one in the second, and the one in the first would have held up because the Orioles scored zero runs last night. Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Eric Fetty, outstanding two-hitter. 97 pitches, four strikeouts, minimizing the damage. The Orioles, we can sit here and complain about their inability to hit with runners in scoring position. Well, they only had one of those guys.
Yeah, 0-for-1.
Yeah, the power number obviously wasn't there. Jordan Lyles, he didn't pitch poorly at all, as he was dealing and dealing pretty good. And remember, Jordan Lyles had the stomach ailment, which cost him Sunday's Father's Day start. gets pushed back, looks strong, scuffled a little bit early, and then really settled down. And Brandon Hyde, after the game, talks about the job that his veteran right-hander provided for him.
Yeah, you know, especially after that second inning, after the, you know, we got the double play ball, didn't turn, but after the second inning, he was really good and went into the seventh inning for us, kept us right there. We just didn't have any offense tonight to help him out.
92 pitches, 6 1/3, so you get into the seventh, you take it. 5 hits, 2 runs against a Nationals team whose highest earned run average for a staff in baseball. They have the worst team ERA in Major League Baseball, and if you're the Orioles, and you're Brandon Hyde, and you hold them to 3, you figure you're winning in with relative ease. They had just lost 8 in a row until they beat the Phillies, rather, on Sunday. So the Orioles just couldn't get it done. But Jordan Lyles, is he putting up these impressive numbers? No, he's 4-6 with a 4.92. But what does that veteran leadership bring to the equation, Hyder?
Well, I think he's been in that situation many times, a veteran, and pitched for a lot of years. So having traffic or maybe not having your best stuff, really trying to find it a little bit later, I think that's not abnormal for him and or any pitcher that's been around for a while. So he did a great job of finding it, getting a little sharper as the game went on and went into the seventh.
Keegan Aiken did not pitch poorly out of the pen at all.
No.
He gave up the cheap home run, and you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And Bob, what'd you think of the umpiring? Because that dude was calling everything a strike.
Well, you know how I feel. If I anticipate poorness, I will call it out. But if it sucks for both teams, then you deal with it.
It did.
Yeah, and that's, you want consistency. And if it's consistently bad for both, then you accept it. And as teams, you improvise and adapt. In-game adjustments. There's a phrase for you.
Bob, who was it that the first, when Cruz swung and missed at the one, I mean, he, you know, and they said he didn't swing on the one. That was, he was, well, and Hyder was like freaking out.
Yeah.
But then they struck him out on the next pitch.
But if that bat is pointing anywhere near first base, if it's level, okay, it's a check swing.
Right.
But if it's pointing up the first baseline, it's a strike. 1972, probably not called. 2022, with all the technology that you have, you ring him up. But as you said, they got him out of there anyway. Yeah. He did have a ribby, by the way, Nelson Cruz. But pitching wasn't bad for the Orioles.
Nope.
Okay, Odor could have, you know, got
the
out of
double
the inning.
Play.
Yeah, got out of the inning there, but, you know, it is what it is. But the Orioles couldn't score. And that's the bottom line. And as Brandon Hyde states after the game, yeah, well, the offense was offensive.
We've done a really good job up to this point, and our guys are getting better. I think we had an off night offensively, and I'm gonna leave it kind of at that. I think that, you know, we're working the right way, and guys have been improving. Tonight, we just collectively just didn't do a whole lot offensively.
Yeah, 10 Ks.
Yeah.
As a team.
Well, 4 for Hayes.
Yeah, he got the golden sombrero. 0 for 4 strikeouts, and he says he leaves it at that. Let's just say the Orioles didn't work counts maybe to their favor and constantly chasing.
Yeah.
Because they were behind, and that's been an issue for them over the years. And they've improved it to some level. They still strike out a lot, but you know, 3-0. Final score. Nationals. Yeah. They get the W. And it's frustrating because the Orioles creep to within 8 games of .500. You have the Nationals coming in here, one of the worst teams in baseball, the worst run differential in Major League Baseball, and then you just go quietly into the night.
Yeah. Watching that game, Bob, the Nats played good. You know, if I'm the Nats, I'm happy about how, the, you know, if I was a Nats fan, I'd be happy. They pitched extremely well, and they played good defense.
Right, but the pitching well is something that's been rare for them, because Fetty's ERA is pushing 5.
He looked like a Cy Young Award winner.
Now, tonight, Orioles will try to split the series. It's a 2-gamer as Tyler Wells, who's been their best starting pitcher, Baltimore's, he goes up against Patrick Corbin, whose earned run average is pushing 6. Left-hander, 3-9. So the Orioles Nationals tonight, 7:05. Baltimore baseball tonight. We'll get you ready for that game starting at 6 o'clock. Yeah, but you know, if any of I could control the weather, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you right now. I'd be doing much greater things with my time.
Hey, Bob, do you think that Mateo, just get an out instead of trying to make the great double play? You know the throw's off a little bit. Just make sure you get one. You know what I mean?
Well, he had his foot off the bag.
Right.
But the throw was kind of
The throw
errant.
Wasn't good. The throw took him off. But, you know, make sure you get
because one. Odor fields it, and as a right-hander, he got just kind of stepped and planted and just threw it outside. And so yeah. It's to the glove side, obviously, of Mateo. I mean, he could have fielded it, did the little shuffle underneath, and then,
right.
But they didn't, and that's the bottom line, and we can question. And look, Mateo, I'm not buying into he's the greatest shortstop since Ozzie Smith thing, but he's been very good defensively, and usually he is making the routine play, starting to anyway. I would put that one more on Rugi.
Yes.
Rougned Odor last night, Oriole Park at Camden Yards. But as Vinny said, weather could be somewhat ominous as they're expecting thunderstorms throughout the night starting at 2 o'clock. And then the Orioles hit the road.
Chicago?
Yeah. For a long time. But
and what'd you say? It's going to be 100 degrees?
Yeah. Well, in south side of Chicago we're talking about here. But for the Orioles, I would think... And I'm not telling them how to judge their game tonight, weather-wise.
Right.
But if you're going to Chicago for four games and you're leaving tonight, you don't want to be goofing around with these so-called windows of opportunity to play. If it's going to be bad, then maybe do a preemptive strike, if you know where I'm coming from here.
Yeah.
And then... reschedule this game at a later date. Because it's not like it's two contending teams.
Are the Nats playing tomorrow, too? Probably, I would imagine.
Let's see. The Nationals, their schedule is, Vinny, since you ask.
Both getting away out of town, I imagine.
Nats are off tomorrow.
Oh, so.
They can't play tomorrow. The Orioles are gone.
Yeah.
And then the Nationals go to Texas for a three-game series. But bottom line is, if you know it's going to rain... don't goof off. Just make a preemptive move. Get off to Chicago. Worry about that series. And then worry about this game with the Nationals at another time. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Bill Ripken's going to be joining us. He's got a special announcement to make that he's going to share with our audience. And we'll talk about last night's loss and where the Orioles sit right now at 30-39. Trying to get to 500. They are competitive. I don't think anyone could deny that. I mean, there's still a ton of baseball left to be played, but much more competitive, much more difficult to get rid of as an opponent. But a tough L last night because you wanted to get to – I'm talking as a fan now, and I guess I'm speaking for Brandon Hyde and the players on the team. You wanted to get us a two-game sweep because the Nationals stink.
Right.
And if you fancy yourself as a team, and I know it's 162 games, that is 500 worthy – and as we said, they were seven games out of the wild card norm going into last night's game. You don't want to, not only do you not want to lose, you don't want to just go, meekly away. So we'll talk to Bill about that and other baseball happenings. Bobby Witt, Shohei Ohtani, a little power surge going at it in the same game. Let's just say one guy had eight RBIs and his team still lost. We're talking about that more with Bill Ripken next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.